Join the Pop Life Podcast conversation. Follow us on Twitter at the Pop Life Podcast. Find us on iTunes at the Pop Life Podcast. Be sure to rate us, please. And find us on SoundCloud and share and like and subscribe. Thanks.
Welcome to the Pop Life Podcast, coming to you from the Crosby Collective Studio. Starring your hosts, Jeffrey Sledge, Naima Cochran, and Sean Young. If it's top of mind in pop culture, it's up for discussion. Thank you for joining us this week. The Pop Life begins in 3, 2, 1.
Pop Life Podcast in studio. Today is the
12.
Damn. He's almost there, brother.
What's today? Wednesday?
Yep.
Yeah.
We about to come up on the 12 days of Christmas.
It's the 12th? I thought it was a goddamn...
Right, don't rush us, nigga.
No, I ain't rushing. I ain't bitch.
I ain't bought a Christmas present the first.
Me either. I know what I'm going to get Julian on. Let me give him like a night. He never had North Face.
Yeah?
Does he want a North Face? North Face is
classic, though.
Classic, and it's, you know, in the wintertime, it's hitting. They keep you warm.
Oh, nah, they definitely, oh, because Jordan definitely had me in Macy's in that North Face section for about an hour.
Yeah, she
trying them. Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, why wouldn't she? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I think I'm going to do that. I was uptown the other day, and I was looking around up there, so I'm going to get him that. I don't know what else I'm getting, though, besides that. Shit, I don't know, whatever. I ain't getting a lot, shit.
Yeah. Same here. We got Jordan. We got Jordan's gift already, but.
Okay. You got Justin yet?
You know what? He's in that weird space, man.
Yeah, what do you get him?
21. I mean, he's got.
You just give him some dough.
He's got shit. I mean, we going to go on vacation, so.
Yeah, he'd be all right.
Yeah, I'm like, he finna graduate, so.
Yeah,
you know, he
hold it for
nice.
That, really. Yeah.
You know, sit tight, killer.
Exactly.
Here get you something. Get you some light.
Here go a little gift card.
Don't spend on a little Amex. You go out with your friends.
There you go. You know what I'm saying? Don't spend on one place. You'll be all right. What about you? You say you ain't done no shopping now?
Nope.
I might do kicks. Kicks are always a go.
And then my friend Loy, her daughter, you know, who me and her daughter's real cool. She's only 20. She's in college, but she said she's coming home for the break and she's gonna be working at Nike.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so she was
the one in the new
Avenue. Yeah.
Oh,
so
that's gonna
be hectic. It's crazy in there.
I know, but
hectic.
You been inside?
No.
But it's a good discount.
I've been inside.
That's a great
discount.
My
friend's brother used to work there, yo.
It's 40.
Amazing.
It's 40.
It's amazing.
Okay.
But she has to buy it.
Yeah, and then you get that.
Whatever.
That's also like a limited number of items.
I'm going to get that one hot thing, and I'm out of there. I've had my eyes on these super high-end. Fear God, Jerry Lorenzo joints.
Oh yeah, but you really think you're gonna? So Greg wants to get his son to Fear God, but like you really think you're gonna be able to get them in stores because they're already on the market for resale at like
three racks already.
Like I hit up somebody at Nike.
They come out Friday.
I hit somebody at Nike directly. Like, listen, I don't want you to give them to me. I just want to buy them, but I know I'm not gonna be able to buy them in the store. They're not gonna last in the stores for 10 seconds.
I know.
So good luck.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. Maybe shit. I'll get something else. I'll throw something else. I'll find some some other shit that niggas ain't wearing. First of all, I guess piece to Michael Cohen. I guess.
Is it a piece?
I don't know if it's a piece.
That's what you get, nigga.
Deuces to Michael Cohen.
Karma says hello. I mean, it's only 3 years, though. Honestly, to me, that's
light. Got three.
You got three. Yeah, you got three today.
Fed time.
Fed 36 months. But obviously, because he cooperated.
So. I hope they put his ass in real fed time, like Leavenworth fed time.
Yeah, for real.
Like nigga with the stripes.
Like not a spot.
Nah, because I heard like at Leavenworth they still do the stripes.
Really.
Yeah,
that's
nigga,
crazy.
Like, wow. For real. Like, you know, real
the real
prison.
Drug dealer niggas.
Yes.
The real killers.
Yes.
And now, like, the white collar shit?
Not that, nah, not
I
club
also,
fed.
I was about to say, apparently, though, he has more to say, but he's holding it until the conclusion of the investigation. Like, his lawyer said something today, like, once Mueller is done with his investigation, Michael Cohen looks forward to sharing everything he knows about Trump or something like that.
Because now... correct me, this is the Fed, right? This is not the Southern District.
This is not the New York investigation.
This is the Mueller investigation. He might get some more time stacked on.
This is the Mueller investigation. Okay. And apparently, you would probably know this better than I, Sean. I need to double check what I'm saying. But apparently, the New York attorney general has found at least two instances of illegal activity, with first with one with the Trump Foundation, and I think something else involving Cohen directly. And today or yesterday, the company that owns the Inquirer
admitted
to making payoffs,
150 kill racks. Storage.
Yep.
So this young man is just, he's on.
And there was a report, I haven't seen it confirmed, that Trump ain't really in the office today. He just
mad.
Chilling.
Yeah, you man. Saw how Nancy and Chuck blasted his ass yesterday?
Yeah.
Nancy was like, nigga, you're lying, nigga, you're lying.
Yeah. Trump was like, I have the vote. She was like, all right.
But then go do it then, bitch, man. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead then.
Go for it. Knock yourself out.
Like you trying to, you've been in office for 8 minutes and you don't understand how the government works.
Right.
And you trying to tell a woman who's been doing this shit for like 40 years.
Right.
Or maybe
right.
more, actually.
Right.
How this works.
Yeah.
Look at him like, my nigga, like, really?
Like, Nancy.
How many bills I've passed?
Yeah.
Kind of wild.
She's like, all right, shawty.
All right, yeah, go do your thing, B.
Right.
Yo, did we talk about Lord and Taylor closing down?
No, and I'm sad that I didn't know.
I saw some dudes with the signs on today.
We saw.
Yeah, like, because I walked here from Grand Central.
I think it already closed, because we were talking about it at my house.
Because they had the signs on saying, like, closing.
Oh, then yeah. I need to go there.
I think
this is the first run. This is the first run.
Okay.
Rabia was saying one of her friends got, like, six dresses for, like, $70 or something.
I bet, because
like
it's just liquidated. It's just get it out of here.
Let me go. I'm going over there.
Yeah. I need to get some of them clothes racks, too, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because they'll start selling the fixtures.
Yeah, because they just getting rid of everything.
Look, it's time.
It is time. I mean, you know, that type of store, which is such a like an old school department store energy, definitely didn't feel like that they probably had the people inside to transition to online.
Right.
Well, they
do a swift online business.
Online.
Maybe it's just more online.
Maybe it's just the price of the building.
I think that. I also think that, you know, the one thing about Lord and Taylor, man, is that they never really had like those sort of exclusives, like Macy's would have an exclusive deal, right? Even though, you know, it may not be popular for us, but like they had the exclusive shit with Sean John. They had exclusive. You would get a lot of exclusive shit that you could only get at Macy's.
Store.
You know what I'm saying? You know, Saks and those are, that's a different tier.
You know,
to me, Lord and Taylor, and Macy's are kind of right in that same space. Well, and as we've seen, Macy's has closed several stores.
But I think that's also where Lauren Taylor got lost. Because even now, at least in New York, Macy's is where you're going to go for, like, you need something from the juniors department. You need something simple. You need some housewares. You need something, right? Mm-hmm. Bloomingdale's is like your mid-tier. You go on high-end. You go to, like, you know, Bergdorf's or Saks or something like that. Lauren Taylor just kind of got lost.
Yeah, in that shuffle.
Like,
it was like the old lady.
Yeah, my grandmother and I used to go.
It became the Old Navy of department stores.
Right. Yeah, like it had the name. But it wasn't competing.
It never really curled over. The shoe department was trash. Mm-hmm.
Trash.
The shoe department was god awful.
Terrible.
Fixtures, like I would, because they have them in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
So I usually go to Garden State Plaza.
Mm.
And, you know, I'll just pop my head in because you never know what you might luck up on.
Right.
And dude, when I say just terrible, like the men's department, you know, the cufflinks was trash, the pocket squares, just mid management fives, these ugly ass cap toe shoes. Yeah. They're just trash.
Right, yeah.
It was just, it just wasn't fly. Yeah. Like nothing about it was fly.
That's what I'm saying. Like Saks and Bergdorf's and those guys, like they had people in there to keep up. Like you go to Bergdorf's and you can buy like, you know, the high end, you know, sneakers and, you know, the Japanese shit. And mm-hmm. They got that on Smash, you know, Barney's house.
Even Nordstrom's has
turned the corner. Yeah. Nordstrom's has really turned the corner with that shit. They got a lot of nice shit, but Lord & Taylor never kept up. I'm reading here, the interesting thing, I didn't know this, is they sold that building to WeWork.
Oh, I didn't know that.
The Lord & Taylor building is now bought by, was bought for $850 million.
Wow.
So that's going to be a big WeWork building, I guess. Once
it might be. It might be split
use. Some other shit.
Yeah, I was going to say. They'll probably do split usage. Yeah,
and rent. What makes me sad is that Lauren Taylor always had one of the best holiday windows.
And they say here on this thing, they're saying instead of doing the full windows, they're only doing two. Yeah. They're not even doing all the windows this year, so they really on their last.
They cut early jewelers hours.
We don't need all the mannequins. Just bring them three over here. We good. That's all we need.
Yeah, y'all go home early. Don't worry.
Exactly. Don't worry about it. We got it from here. Yeah, because I used to like what's it? Because Barney's and Saks.
No, Saks is
Saks is line them up. That's like our whole thing. Yeah. But I loved how like they would do it. Like you see, like they put the shits down in front of the windows, for like a couple of days, like you know, and they were in there. It could be in there. It'd be in there, like working, changing windows, and then they do the big unveiling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, peace to Lauren Taylor, man. End of an era. Also, want to say peace to change barbers again.
Yo ass.
I know. Look, my barber, my man D'Antonio.
He finally went to jail, right?
No, I ain't going to jail, but he might have been gone the past couple. I went there Monday, no Antonio. I went back yesterday, no Antonio. I'm like, okay. And the last time he cut me, his hand was a little unsteady. Mm. I wasn't that happy with the results.
He's having a little withdrawal, you think?
I think the nigga back on that stuff. Mm. He was clean, but I think he's back on that stuff, man. You know, did I tell you one time about 2 months ago he asked me to borrow some money?
Your barber?
Barber was like, I need like $100 to pay my rent.
Oh, wow. I was getting ready to say, I mean, like, if it's your barber, he asks you for like a dub.
No, I wasn't a dub. It was $100. Yeah, I didn't give it to him.
Yeah, that's way too much.
Because I know I wasn't getting it back.
That's way too much for a barber.
So that was my first sign. I was like, okay, he back on the shit. Right.
Yeah. He didn't even try to hustle you with the, yo, I'm going to give you
a couple free cuts.
You just work it off. I'll work it off. Nothing.
And the thing about it, like I told you, he's Mexican and his English is very haunting. Mm. So, like, we're not really cool because we don't really have conversation. I told you, I'll sit down. He says, same thing. I said, same thing, Tone. And I said, that's the end of our conversation.
That's the extent of your relationship.
Yeah. And then afterwards, he's like, okay. And then I pay the money, and I give a pound, and I walk out the door. So I told you, I think I told you a few weeks ago, Tone did the bullshit, and he wasn't around, and I needed to cut. I was going away. I needed to cut bad, and I was like, fuck it. I went up to 207th. Mm-hmm. You know, them barbershops in the Heights, them niggas be open up late. It was really late, too. So there's a shop on 207th down towards the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
I just went in there on a humble, kind of like, all
right. You really fuck with them Dominicans. I'm surprised they ain't trying to line your shit with some Bayesian and shit. Like,
nah. But my man Frank, he from the Bronx. He's like, he's a cut in Harlem. So he knows how to cut.
Okay.
So he do it with the little baby powder. He don't do the.
Okay.
I told you that's what I said. My man was, his other cat was smoking hookah and cutting at the same time.
His man was smoking hookah and cutting
somebody head at the same time.
Yeah. Like, y'all think black barbershops be crunk? Dominican barbershops be...
Dominican barbershops are really... it's really a social club where you can get a haircut.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah.
Frank told me they was cutting heads the Wednesday before Thanksgiving till 5 a.m.
Jesus Christ.
5 in the morning.
I would have stopped taking people. I would have been like, I gotta go to sleep.
They turn up. They drinking, crazy. Smoking. So I went to see Frank again. Uh-huh. Frank on point. Call Frank. Frank got right in the chair. Handled his business. So Frank's my new guy.
Okay.
207.
I hope you and Frank are very happy and have a long
time. Me and Frank is happy. And you know, if I'm feeling it after Frank, I can walk right up the hill to go to Guadalupe. Give me a good meal. It's on that block.
Ooh, I haven't been to Guadalupe in a minute.
Guadalupe is
fine. I need to go get their grilled pork chops.
Oh my God, Guadalupe food is so good. We got to go there, bro.
Guadalupe food
is so good. Oh my God, it's so good. And it's like a scene, you know? Yeah. But anyway, so peace to my man Frank Tone. I think it's over for us, bro. I want to say peace to the Godzilla trailer.
Oh, I haven't seen.
I'm very excited about this. From being a kid in New York watching the 4:30 movie.
I didn't even know there was a new Godzilla coming out.
Yeah, it's coming out. I'm thinking Jan or Feb.
That's not
pretty soon. Oh no, I'm lying. It might be coming next summer.
Okay,
but the trailer's popping. They got everybody in there. Godzilla, obviously. Rodan. Mothra. Ghidorah. They're all in there.
Okay.
all, it's lit. I'm saying, as a kid in New York, you know.
Wait, didn't they just do Godzilla like 4 years ago?
That one wasn't really popping like it was supposed to be. I went to see it in the theater.
Godzilla versus, not Mothra. It was Godzilla versus some cockroaches.
They're supposed to be, well, you know what they're setting up? They're setting up this, apparently the setup is they're doing almost like a Marvel thing. So they'll do Godzilla now, and then later on, it's supposed to do Godzilla versus King Kong.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so, that'd be live.
Yeah, so that's the setup. So again, as a kid as a man of a certain age,
yes,
the 4:30 movie,
the old nigga from New York.
This is also old New York shit I'm about to say right now, because it's mostly y'all niggas ain't gonna know about this.
Yeah,
years ago, WABC Channel 7 had the 4:30 movie that would come on from 4:30 to 6, and then the news would start at 6 every day, Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
And they would show just old movies. That's why niggas, again, and women of a certain age, we know so many of those old movies, because that's what it was why. But then they would do these weeks. They would do like Monster Week.
Right.
They would do, you know, Planet of Apes. That's how Planet of Apes got popular. Because they would do Planet of Apes Week, and they'd show all five of the Planet of the Apes, like Monday through Friday, James Bond Week, The Saint, In Like Flint, just tons of shows. King Kong, so those guys, those monster movies, Godzilla movies, got popular because of the 4:30 movie.
Got you.
So that's why I'm all in on this new shit. Okay. I'm just saying.
Fair enough. What do you think of the Aquaman trailer? They're saying that the movie's gonna rival some of the Marvel shit.
I might give it, especially by
DC standards.
I might give it a play only because I watched. I didn't watch it live, but I watched clips of. Jason Momoa is on Saturday Night Live. He was actually pretty good. He's actually got a little more range than I thought he did.
Right.
He's like, he could be really funny.
Okay.
Like, so I was like, okay, he's got to kind of act a little bit. So I'm gonna give out. I ain't got shit else to do. goddamn movie. What else I'm doing?
Right.
I'm just going to the movies. I wanted to mention Tumblr.
Right.
So Tumblr's come up with as December, is it 15 or 18? I think it's 18. It's real. It's in the next week.
Yeah.
Tumblr's banning all porn from its platform.
Which is interesting.
Because I just got to a space where they were realizing there was so much child pornography on people's Tumblr pages. I'm just telling you what they're saying. So they said they banned porn because they're wiping out child pornography. So basically throwing out the baby with the bathwater. So one of Tumblr's big draws when it kind of first really got going was, you know, porn, but also like erotica.
That's what I was about to say.
It wasn't just nasty shit.
That's what people are really up in arms about, because like you said, the baby with the bathwater thing is that there's a few different media sites, even Instagram with their porn restrictions. What ends up happening is that where they get enforced the most tends to be with LGBT plus erotica or with art, with people posting their own shit. And sex workers.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So people are really like, this is actually a backdoor way to kind of kill that content.
Yep.
Because it always seems to happen that rather than really getting the really grimy shit out of here, it's the well-intended shit that ends up getting policed.
Exactly. Everything gets just washed out. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, Tumblr's never made any money because they don't really have advertising. It's like a weird setup. It's not like, you know, Twitter or obviously Instagram where you can do advertising. There's no way to really advertise a Tumblr. So it was always an upside-down model anyway. So it was kind of limping, and it probably was on probably like the eighth inning anyway. But this could push it to like bottom of the ninth.
The community that's still there mostly is image driven.
Yeah,
it's like all image driven, right? Yeah. Like people used to use it as a blog platform. But the community that's still on Tumblr right now, it's mostly a visual community. So you get rid of this.
That's what I'm saying. You don't push it to the bottom of the knife. It's about to be over. So I don't know. So I mean, peace to them. And I enjoy several Tumblr pages.
Go get your porn at a Pornhub like everybody.
Well, apparently a lot of pages are like trying to figure out how to save this shit.
Yeah, people trying to figure it out. But I mean, I think it's either the 15th or like the 18th. It's like any day now. Yeah. It's over.
I mean, a big Tumblr is probably using their data. to keep their doors open.
Of course.
Right? So that's what they really need. Yeah. So if they're not getting advertising, they're definitely doing something.
So yeah, so I guess peace to them. I wanted to mention, let's see where we can go from here. So y'all ain't watch, y'all watch Real Housewives?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watch it.
All right, so let's go and get into that. You didn't watch Married this week, so
I didn't even see Married.
Your girl Simone was tripping on Cecil, like out for no reason, just blacked on him.
I totally believe it
for literally no reason though.
No, like they were out of. That's what I'm saying.
They were going out to like a nice dinner, and she just. She blacked for real. She walked out. Like even the cameras was kind of like, what? Like what the fuck happened? Yeah. Like she was wilding on your man. Like she's still really upset about the whole thing with that other lady. And your man Cecil sitting there like dumbfounded because he like was like, yo, I thought we was just coming out to have a nice dinner. Like you know, we back in that same house and all that.
I I've said before, I think that she enjoys the arrangement. Having married, you know, but there's this two separate lives that are occurring. And the moment that there has to be some inconveniences on her part, you know, or, you know, compromises, she seems to just go like blackout.
Way left. Yeah. And Aiden, came out that Aiden has, viral meningitis.
What?
Yeah, like he's really like he's like in the hospital. Like they were out on a girls trip, and they had to bounce because he called Mariah and was like, "Yo, they had to admit me. Like I'm fucked up for real." And I'm saying they show next week. Like they're in the hospital.
Like how does?
Yeah, I don't know how you get it, but like
he got it.
Yeah. So that was obviously very intense as well. Yeah, but the Simone shit was like, damn. But anyway, so Real Housewives of Atlanta this week, we had kind of like an introduction to. Possibly one new cast character, maybe that girl with the yellow.
I think that was a
drunk.
She was clearly drunk. Her husband was so mortified.
He was like,
I was mortified for that nigga in that Fendi t-shirt looking crazy.
Yeah, nigga, me too.
Like this is a grown up. This is grown up shit, exactly. Nigga.
Right.
I say you got if you don't want to choose to wear a suit, so be it. But put on something that's presentable.
Either put on a jacket or put on a shirt.
Yeah.
One of the two.
A t-shirt, my nigga? I know it's expensive, but it's still a t-shirt.
That really wasn't the vibe, and I'm pretty sure, like, anytime you go on couples dates or trips, you know, you get an itinerary, yo, this is where we're going to be.
Certain night.
You usually go.
Boobs and bourbon. So it's like.
I mean, come on, my nigga. Like, I don't know. I mean, listen, I'm probably killing him a lot more than necessary, but I was just like.
He looked out of place.
He looked crazy.
You got a place under the table.
But yo, your girl, like, we've all established that, okay, granted, Eva can be shady.
I don't think Eva was being shady.
But she wasn't being shady.
She legitimately was like, I don't really remember.
She can be shady, but she wasn't being shady. And for your girl to be like,
I was that bitch. CAU.
Such and such from the CAU. And it's like, what?
Well, first of all, like,
at 40.
That's about to say. People like that always get on my nerves because you're still living.
In college.
Yeah. And you've been out of college, like you said, for 15. It was 16 years ago.
Do you know how many motherfuckers I legitimately knew that I don't remember from college? And, like, we definitely knew each other. And if you walked up to me right now, I would be like...
Yo, my niggas that I went to Morgan with always get on my neck because we'll be talking.
And you'd be like, who that?
So-and-so, and I'd be like,
Right. I believe that 100%, nigga, because you do that now with people you was just talking to 3 months ago. Like, nigga, you was just, I met him through you.
Three hours ago. We had this conversation every day about niggas on Twitter. People like, who is that?
I have no idea who that is.
Oh, that girl.
But I especially understand if you moved away and moved back. Right? Like, when context changes and you meet other people. Like, I have this issue.
And Eva's been moving around.
Yeah, like, you might look familiar, but I don't know. So one thing that I do, sometimes I'll be like, do I know you? But now, I'll just say, it's nice to meet you. And if you remember me from somewhere else, what you can say is actually we met.
And then remind me.
That bitch didn't do that.
No.
She waited till she
was she was mad.
She was caught attitude.
She was mad. She was very, because I could tell you exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Nene said, do you want to come? We're going to tape.
Yeah.
Oh, Eva's going to be there. Oh, Eva's my girl.
That's my girl.
That's my girl. We know how to. Oh, so Nene's probably like, oh, well, cool.
That's probably why she set them together.
Exactly. Yeah. She was probably like, okay, cool. You guys would know each other because there would be no reason.
Right.
Other than that.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's when it was just kind of really weird and obvious. But she was upset the moment she didn't get the greeting.
Get the, hey, girl!
That she was expecting from Eva. Now, like we've said, we know how Eva could be. But I'm also like, yo, she's kind of been famous for like a decade.
Yeah.
She's and met also, a like, lot
she
of
got kids. She got kids. Like, she's planning a wedding.
Yeah.
She got my, like, and.
She's done a lot.
And you probably don't still look like that bitch from the CAU, by the way.
And yeah. then she was kind of, and by then the it's mind. Like, yeah, and you know what? Sometimes you can have friends in common. And I also think she might have been, because she said, oh, so-and-so's at my wedding, Tiffany. Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah, that's my girl.
That's my BFF.
I think she might have been playing that up a little bit.
Yeah. Right. Because she was like, we share a BFF.
Yeah. And like, I was like, I don't really know.
Y'all BFFs, if y'all was sharing a BFF, that at some point y'all would have been around each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. She was definitely, you could definitely get the sense that her best years were behind her.
And my guess is she may have already come with a chip on her shoulder about Eva if they really do share a friend in common, because she hasn't had access to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she might have already had something to prove.
True.
Because
she
made
such a, she tried to make such a scene about it. Wait
such
a minute.
Scene.
Now I got
can
something
I say,
to say.
Can I finish my fucking
exactly,
butt?
Like,
and it's
damn,
like,
girl.
What? And her husband, like, wasn't even trying to hide it. This nigga put his head all
every,
the way down.
He the whole like, table was like, nigga, what is happening?
What is happening?
Yeah.
You know how bad you gotta be for Marlo to be like, what is going on?
Marlo was even like, oh, she tripped.
Oh, she's
right.
bugging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marlo, by the way, with the anonymous white man.
Well, always.
Hey,
you pay to play, right?
Listen,
allegedly.
That's how Marlo owns her home and did not pay for it.
And then Marlo ain't probably paid for nothing in 35 years.
With, like, Marlo, what does, like, Marlo don't work.
Ain't never worked.
Oh, she working.
She working.
Oh, nigga, she working. The Rolls Royce is getting.
Yeah, exactly.
Rolls Royces ain't free.
The townhouses ain't free.
Oh,
that white man was just sitting there. Then we got the reveal that we all knew. Portia pregnant.
We knew that.
You called that early, though. You called that.
We knew that.
We could tell.
Yeah, we could tell. And also, like, I mean, maybe he was genuinely surprised because he started crying. But I'm like, nigga, how you ain't know?
He wasn't surprised. That nigga's a fraud. First of all, my nigga. And I say this.
Like, his house looks like it's in a business district.
That's if I'm not mistaken.
No, that's not Atlantic Station. The outside of the building is
no
Atlantic Station.
House, no
but it's
you know the outside of the buildings also can be they can vary.
Yeah, I'm about to say it could be.
It might not be Atlantic Station, but I've been in a very similar condo
like that.
In that same vein.
Okay.
Yes.
So it could be. You're right, it could be.
Yeah.
It could have just been a different exterior.
Yeah. So but anyway, I'm just like, dude, when you open up, like y'all been fucking raw.
Yeah.
Okay. You
since
definitely.
I think from the door.
My nigga,
since
you definitely you're not pulling out. Like not even a little bit.
If he told her he loved her the first night, that was during sex.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Balls deep
that was
missionary.
All he was in it.
That nigga was balls
he was looking
deep.
At her eyes.
Dead looking
you.
At her eyes.
Hunch, hunch.
Oh, that nigga had the monkey hunch. And that nigga's.
I love you.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, you open up this gift and it's like a little kid's shoe.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm saying to myself, like, why is it taking him so long to compute?
To say something, yeah.
I mean, like, because I'm saying, like, you don't have another kid.
Does he have any kids?
I mean, according to this, like, you don't have another kid. What did you think this gift could possibly be about? Like, it was just weird. Yeah. I definitely felt like he knew already. I know for sure she didn't wait for that.
To tell him.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And so they go through the whole thing. And then look, was he legitimately crying? It probably could have just, he might have been. I don't know. He might have been emotional. Maybe it is his first kid. Look, I think he's got some shit with him, but who are me to judge about whether or not a man is happy, you know, to be a father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it was just, that whole thing sort of rubbed me the wrong way. And it's like, yo, my nigga, like, you really needed the chef to make some motherfucking omelets and, and some toast, nigga?
That's another thing about these Atlanta shows. Why they always got a goddamn chef,
man? Well, that's because that's the hustle, right? Like, yeah, that's also, the hustle. The nigga, all, like, you look over there and one of the things, and, you know, again, man, who are me to judge, right? But it's just like,
cause you do
every time you see them, every time you see them, it's all of that.
Yeah.
Like, there is nothing.
Ain't no regular. Y'all ain't never eaten out of no styrofoam. Like, right. Just stop by the Waffle House.
That's takeout.
There's nothing intimate. Like, there's. And also, like, these gifts, everything is like. Yeah, like
diamonds
okay,
and.
After the third Louis bag.
Yeah.
Then what?
Is that like a sexy. Is that still a sexy gift? I'm not even judging. I'm just. Because you know, it's not even just.
It's not
them.
Special.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, there is nothing. To me, there was nothing special about gaudy, easy to purchase gifts, right? Nexus, there's no thought in that, right?
It's like, like the hustle man came.
But you know, in Atlanta, that's the thing. It's a very rare opinion because that's always been my thing. Is like, I actually don't like, I don't usually like receiving jewelry as gifts because I feel like it's a thoughtless gift.
It's easy.
And jewelry can be a very personal thing. So it can be hard to buy something that really makes sense for a person.
Instead of just buying diamond cross.
Diamond cross. Exactly. Yeah. Like in 1998, that diamond cross would have been fly.
Yeah. Yeah.
In 2018, I don't really know what I'm looking for.
Porsche is 16 in
there. Well,
But also, like, how many bags? How many, like, unless I said I wanted this. Unless it really is unique to me. But, like, maybe one is cute. But, like, over.
And then, you know, he had the little shots at Todd, which is, you know. And listen, it's all fair game. You know, you trying to, you know, defend your lady. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? You talking about what he buying bottles over there. It's just like, come on, nigga. You went
40 years old. What you supposed to buy?
You went Bourbon Legs.
When you turn 40, you supposed to start buying Rolexes as gifts? No. I was like, nigga, what are you talking about?
No.
It's
sidebar. Yeah.
He's just a trick.
I just want to bring up the conversation that I told y'all about with, the other day.
Oh, with the girls?
Yeah, with my girls. So, again, 19 and 20. 19 is, it was just me and the 20-year-old talking. I don't know the 19-year-old. I met her once. I probably never see her again. But I was laughing to the 20-year-old, my little artist. I'm like, you crazy with these. I said, I told my peoples about you, and they were laughing because you're bonkers.
Right.
And she's like, what you mean? I said, like, Louboutins is the first gift is nuts. She's like, nah, you want to do that? And, like, for the second gift? You should probably buy her a car. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
What?
What?
Deadass.
A car, nigga? Like
an actual car?
Like four wheels and a transmission.
Not like,
not a Matchbox. I said, Tyler.
Does she have a car?
Yeah, she has a little knock around.
Pause. So she actually hasn't even received any of these gifts that she's saying that she's supposed to receive. So what the fuck is she talking
it's
about?
The Gen, what is it? Z?
Oh, the Gen Y shit.
Z, Y, Z, whatever.
Yeah. It's
this is the ramifications, I guess, of
social media.
Instagram.
Yes, Instagram particularly.
Particularly.
Yeah, specifically. Yeah.
Like, you see this type of shit on the gram.
And all that shit be bullshit, nigga.
Do you know anybody who is gifted a car?
Not
like,
that I know.
Who? Like, what?
It was
that
thing.
Doesn't happen.
She cracked.
That doesn't happen. Guys, niggas buying you cars does not. I mean, also, I know our listeners know this. Niggas buying you cars doesn't really happen in real life. It happens on video.
Even if he, and if he is buying a car for you, it is not a purchased car. Unless you are gifted the title. And it's paid off.
You're driving somebody.
You know what I'm saying?
Because it's in his name.
Basically. Yeah. That's really it. And when he decides he doesn't want to pay that note anymore, it's, you know, or you got it. It's in your name, but it's a note to it.
Yeah. Right.
It's just funny to me.
Oh, one other thing I want to bring up from the Housewives. How many episodes is Shamari going to drag this open relationship from 10 years ago
it's not that interesting.
It was a decade ago.
Yeah, and
it's not episode 5. It's episode 6. And I said that because I tweeted we're in the 5th episode. Then I said, no, let me check. It's the 6th episode.
Still talking about
like, is there nothing else for y'all to talk about?
You know,
it seems like not. And Ronnie seems to be sitting there at the time like,
nigga, why are you talking about this?
Shit up.
Yeah.
Well, Because.
And specifically the lesbian aspect.
Yeah, because Ronnie, you know, has had an image of a really clean good cut. Guy, a clean yeah. cut good guy, right? Yeah. And this sort of taps into that sort of, you know, and the difference is, and we always talked about this, is Candy, with whatever she's done, she understands the dynamics of people talking. So yeah. She's never hidden it. That's why nobody could ever really come out.
She's going to jump out and expose. Right.
Yeah.
She's
already out there with it. Candy understands also how Atlanta works, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
but this girl's also from Atlanta.
Well, then that's what I don't get. Well, because for one thing, people call Candy messy, but Candy's not messy. Candy is just entrenched in Atlanta.
Yeah.
She knows everybody. Everybody knows her. Yeah. So it's like, there ain't no secrets in Atlanta. Atlanta this big.
It's big.
And music industry is this big. You know what I mean? So it's like, so that's also, I think, why Candy gets ahead of her shit, because it's like, yeah, I fuck with this nigga. I've been here my whole life.
Yeah, but so is this girl.
So she even said, she was like, I mean, I saw Ronnie and old girl. I thought Ronnie was cheating. You know, but Shamari not only wants to keep bringing this scenario up that's from 10 years ago, but she also really wants to play up this lesbian thing, right?
So this making me start to wonder, are you wanting to go back into that?
No, she just wants to seem excited.
She's trying to be popping and interesting, and I'm open, all of that sort of shit, because, like I said before, this wasn't an open relationship, okay? This wasn't an open relationship.
Like, you can't fuck no dudes.
You can't fuck no dudes is not an open relationship, okay? Because he basically was, I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
Yeah.
So, you know, once you got rules on shit, then it ain't really open.
It ain't really real. It ain't really real.
You know what I'm saying? She ain't tell him, hey, nigga, you can't get no ass, nigga.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's, I hope episode 7 is, they go to some other shit.
Well, they going on.
Wait, what'd y'all think about Noelle and Leon and
Cynthia. I agree with Leon.
I also agree.
100,000%.
Cynthia just be letting Noelle do whatever the fuck ever.
I think like didn't I text? I said Jeff was like that little gal be doing too much now.
Too much.
I mean, Noelle seems like a nice kid.
She is,
but for several seasons, I've seen more. Like, Cynthia was going to Noelle for relationship advice about like Peter. Friend.
I think she's a nice kid, and I think she's a mature kid for her age. I do not think she is equipped for the things that she thinks she's equipped for.
Correct.
She has lived in a bubble. She's been sheltered, and that is okay. That is no knock on that. She's lived a very privileged life.
Yep.
Okay, my nigga. So if you think that you're about to go to DC, okay, and pay $500 a month and be living the way you living on the lake.
Yeah.
And in the previous townhome is wrong. All the way wrong, my nigga. Like you and God bless her, but that girl is, I would bank, not equipped.
To
be on the outskirts of Howard. Because I went on a visit to Howard. Yeah. And I even told you, I was like, okay, nigga, if you come here, I'm gonna have to walk you through a couple things right
now.
But
Howard, that's not no new shit. Howard's all, when my grandparents took my mama to Howard, my grandmother was clutching her pearls what in the world?
You know what I mean?
So
That's how it is. And I did like seeing like Leon when they were at the table.
Leon's a realist about some shit.
And he's very firm.
Yeah.
He's like a dad. Like, he was like, wait, I know you. You don't even, like, he's like, he wasn't soft soap and shit.
Yeah.
That's what I
enjoyed that.
I did too. And you can tell that he loves his daughter.
And is present.
And wants to have a functioning adult. That this is not just about this, you know, cause a lot of dudes, they sort of fantasize with this, I spoil my daughter, daddy daughter shit. I'm a shelter her and all of that sort of shit. And that shit sounds great. Okay. But now your kid is 24 and they've never done anything.
And equipped for nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. They completely ass out here. You know what I'm saying? And now she, you know, oh, this guy, he just told me to run this bag across the street.
He told me he was going to pay me, you know, $2,000. It's the bubble. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and I enjoyed the Leon scenes. Because I remember seeing him with Noelle, like, interacting like that before. But I enjoyed it. He's a dad, for real.
Yeah.
He's
definitely always going to be around.
Oh, no question.
Whoever said this.
He be staying at the crib.
Yeah. He's
there. You just got to know that.
Yeah, that was kind of wild.
but he always has.
No, I know, but I'm saying, I mean.
Even when she was with Peter, you won't
sleep on this goddamn couch, nigga.
I'm sure he's in a guest bedroom.
I have never been in that type of relationship with an ex. But we could sleep together, sleep in the same crib in his suite.
Right. Yeah, like my three dad. In the morning, I'd be like, wasn't. You know what? It wasn't like that with my dad when my stepfather was still alive. When my stepdad died, we invited, not immediately after, but a few years later, we invited my dad to spend Christmas with us. And he stayed in the guest bedroom in the house.
Okay.
But it was very much like, it was no funny. But this was also like after my parents had been divorced for fucking 35 years.
I'd probably figure it out, but I think it takes time.
Not everybody.
I think that Leon is very clear in his intentions.
Very mature.
Yes, and that he provides a certain level of security for Cynthia,
right.
As well as Noelle, and that is just not something easily replaceable,
right.
And fixable. that's just the reality.
I also get the feeling that Leon and Cynthia have never been the "we gonna slip back into it" type couple.
No, I think he
was way too comfortable talking about Peter for that.
Yeah, there was no hate.
It was very much good. So I think, you know, but again, not every former couple can do that.
Yeah.
And not every couple can withstand they seem to have
a friendship.
Yeah.
I would bet that they have uncomfortable conversations.
Yeah.
About each other.
Yeah.
When they have to.
You know, when
like,
they have
to. You're tripping.
Yeah.
You on this nigga dick too hard. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like something like that. Yeah.
So God bless him, man.
Right.
I wanted to mention, Nicki Minaj.
Which part?
This new, her new beau.
This woman is imploding.
So he's got 12 mugshots.
And he's done 2 Fed bids, one for rape,
heinous shit.
One for manslaughter. And rape, the one for manslaughter is like relatively recent.
Yeah,
like that nigga just got home a minute ago.
Yeah. So,
more or less.
It's just kind of wild, like, that this is the guy that she's choosing to, you know, to be with at this stage in her life.
And proudly.
Her career life.
Proudly. Yeah, stunt. Yeah, stunt. Like y'all want something to talk about? Let's talk about something. Like, retweeting fans who were like, y'all leave Nicki alone. Let her live her life. You know, all that shit. Like, proudly. And I'm thinking to myself, actually, I tweeted this the other day. I might have deleted it, though. Imagine everybody you don't fuck with is prospering. Meek's at number one.
Yeah.
Me came out the joint, like, totally rebranded.
Yep.
This nigga's in social action conversations. He about to sit at big tables.
Yeah.
He's at number one this week. Cardi, killing it.
Killed it. 5 Grammy nominations.
Yeah. Even Safari in his lane.
Yeah.
Is doing his thing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And with Safari and Cardi, like, every time she tried to throw daggers at him, it just flipped for them, and it was still good, mm-hmm. Right? Meanwhile, Nicki's having her worst career year.
Yeah.
0 nominations.
Yep.
They were calling her Nun Lee.
Album didn't sell the way nobody ever expected.
So
she didn't get the number one.
So I'm imagining, like, at what point in this entire process do you sit back and say, I need to reevaluate my own shit?
I think that she's past that. I think she's like, fuck it.
It seems like she just don't. So I'm feeling like she must have gleaned onto this nigga because maybe he's giving her some kind of validation that she needed or something. Like, I don't get it.
But she's
because even Drake and them ain't really fucking with her like that right
now.
Nah,
Drake. Apparently, her and, I mean, you know, it's a social media, but apparently, her and Drake unfollowed each other.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So I don't know, man. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
It's fascinating to watch because, again, like you said, not only about this stage in her career, but also this stage as a woman. Like,
she's
making choices as a grown-up that I do not understand.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, the next thing you know, she's going to pop up pregnant. I promise you, within a year's time.
And apparently she's claiming blood.
I didn't know about that part. That's some new
shit. I got to look into that.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on with Nicki now.
Definitely going to get pregnant.
Did y'all watch Love and Hip Hop?
Yes.
I know, bro, you got to sit out on this one. Mm. It's been great this season.
It's a great season.
What is this?
But let me say this.
3 or 4?
3.
Okay.
3. This Jonathan nigga gets on my nerves because he's part of the holdover from like this last season that I couldn't fuck with. He's like a blogger spirit nigga. Yeah. I don't, you know, and I'm like, I feel like we on some, we got some grown-ups in the room and you on some silly shit.
Well, I'm hoping next week him and Juju have a mature conversation and fix.
Well, already the conversation with him and Kimbella went left really quick. Because again, he's just trying to be, he was mad trying to be quick. Messy.
He tried to be mean,
he tried to be messy. And the girl, Anais, is she on drugs?
I don't know. I didn't see. I didn't watch something's it, so I didn't know who she there. Was.
She was, okay, something's going on there. Like, she looked crazy last season, and she had those sleepy eyes, and, like, that really crazy talk that sound like
she's but see, I didn't watch that season, so she's, and who knows her husband? That nigga looks
old like as fuck.
59
But this year, she's lost all this weight, and she looks like she's gotten
thicker before?
Not much thicker, but like, now she's noticeable. Skeletal.
Okay.
And she had definitely had work done before, but it looks like she had even, like, she looks like Donatella Versace. So I'm like, is it drugs? Is something happening? Like, I'm
I can't
just
call
really
out on that shit because I didn't watch that season. Watch that I didn't know the arc.
But Jonathan definitely didn't fit for me in here. I'm like, okay, we can get rid of this.
What'd you think about, you know, the main story, which was Jewels and Kimbella?
I mean, obviously, this is going to be the primary storyline throughout the whole season.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jewels is refusing to take any accountability, you know, because Kim is telling him while they're in the car on the way to his plea deal, like, how he's hurt her, hurt the kids.
And he's a drug addict. He's a drug addict, fam.
And, you know, his response is, we've done things to each other. Oh, so you've been perfect.
And what drugs, oh, so his thing's also like, what drugs got to do with this?
Right. Like, what my drugs nigga. Got to do? I'm taking a plea charge because of a gun in my bag. But you said just, like, he said himself in the confessional, if he hadn't been on drugs, that shit wouldn't happen.
Because he forgot the drug was in there.
He forgot the gun was in there. And he reacted in a panic when he found out TSA was looking for him or whatever. So it's like, And then he's like, well, when I was on drugs, we weren't even together. You was upstairs, I was downstairs. My nigga, what has that got to do with anything?
That's got nothing to do with nothing. So it sounded like you were saying that they didn't sleep together for like 2 years?
It sounded like, or that was what Kimbella was saying, like they was in the same house, but not together.
Yeah.
But she was like, but I was asking you to come upstairs. Like, what the fuck?
No, so I guess that was... She was, to me, just still insinuating because you was downstairs getting high.
Right.
And rather than get your shit together, come up and fuck around.
So, I mean, I guess we'll see more of that. But clearly, that's the deepest storyline, at least at this point.
Yeah.
In the,
and it's also interesting how he keeps trying to spin it as like he's a victim, like he's like he's being persecuted by the police and by the government.
Like,
it's
like,
my nigga, you had a gun in your bag in the airport.
In the airport,
and then you ran.
Like what? How did you think this was going to go?
I don't know what to tell you, bro. It's not. I don't see how he's like, yeah, but I'm innocent. Like,
no,
even he said, even Maynard was kind of like, word? I don't know about this one, bro.
We got Rich Dollars back on his bullshit.
So what do you think about the Sydney Star?
Okay, she has zero talent.
Zero.
She has zero talent, but peace to Monami Entertainment for introducing a trans person.
I want to say something about that, though.
Oh, boy.
And I might get in trouble.
The views of Jeffrey Sledge
is mine's only. And seeing Sydney Starr, like, because I've seen her online before, you know what I'm saying, and stuff, but I've never seen her, notice I'm calling her, I've never seen her in action. I've just seen pictures and maybe like a little clip here or there, but like I've never seen her like in 3D. Right? And seeing her in 3D, I'm like, you can really tell that she's trans.
You can tell like something.
The way her voice tone is.
Yeah.
And just like her, again, she's very feminine. I'm not saying she looks like a dude or something like that. But like, to me, more than anything, the way she speaks, she sounds like the way a lot of trans women speak, because there's a tone in that vocal from switching from masculine to feminine. There's like a really weird middle ground there. It's like a almost like a timbre that a lot of them have when they speak. And I'm like, oh, is it trans? Like,
but so, I don't know. So, but I didn't realize she was trans until she said it. I mean,
I knew she was before.
Right. Not that I was paying that much attention. Yeah. Right. I mean, I was just like, she's, you know, whatever. But the thing is, she's an edit. She seems like she might be an interesting personality for TV. Sure.
I get it.
Not as a rapper, but my thing is,
I get
as a rapper.
I get putting had her on the show.
Yeah, but not as a rapper. And her friend was actually mad valid when he was like, I mean, but what has Richie Dawes done? Rich, I fuck, if you just happen to hear this, which I doubt, like, I've known you for 100 years, I fuck with you and everything, but yeah, nigga, but what?
Every year, it's another one, like, oh, I'm a break.
And it's always like, y'all, I'm gonna make some money.
It was Sin, and it was, obviously, Olivia,
it was Erica. He's not done anything for any of their music careers. Nothing. There's nobody's music career that he's had popping outside from a single that they released.
Yeah,
on the show that was on iTunes like the day of the show.
And now, again, I don't know Rich, but these are no shots at all.
Right.
But now watching him on the show, he looks like the old man.
He is the old man.
That's what I'm saying. And he looks it.
Yeah.
He's out of place now.
Like his daughter's like 21.
That's what I'm saying. Because the guys like Peter Guns and the Cisco guy,
they're gone.
Those guys are gone. So it's like now it's like, you're really the old guy. So it's like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, he's the old nigga.
Like, these girls are like, I think Sydney Starr is definitely still in her
20s.
Yeah. And Nia Lee is 30 maximum.
Right.
Maybe like 28 or something.
I mean, so it's kind of like,
what are you doing, fam?
Rich is still in his 40s.
Yeah.
He's a little bit older than me. He's still in his 40s, but yeah, he's definitely
he's old compared to
the old nigga now.
He's the old nigga on the show besides Button, but Button's, you know, got sin.
Button's got a whole family.
It's a whole different scenario, yeah. So it was kind of like, almost like there jarring
was,
to me. Like,
there was no Jonah Sin this episode.
No, they weren't on this episode.
They were on
this because last episode,
they were going to
go. They're taking a trip. So maybe that's why, I don't know. But the Sydney Starr girl, like, I totally get why she's on the show.
But she can't rap.
She can't, she's terrible.
Awful garbage.
And I think there was one more thing?
Yandy Shady.
Oh, Yandy and, Yandy's the, again, I know Yandy, and I like Yandy a lot. I've always liked her. But Yandy does that thing where it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
I never did that. I have no idea.
Why would you say, I would never do that?
Yeah. What
do
you, here's my thing. And
she's
again,
done it like 20 times.
And again,
since
and,
she's been on
and,
the show.
And Yandy, I've known you for 100 years too, and we good, so this is not shots. However, I said before that the Yandy on TV is not the Yandy that I know in person.
Mm-hmm.
I separate them.
Okay.
Yandy's like, I didn't tell them about the divorce papers because we were trying to decide what we were going to do based on what his sentencing was. But Yandy, you did not tell Mendeecees. I mean, not about the divorce papers, about the marriage papers from Yandy. Didn't tell Mendeecees about the marriage papers.
I remember when she called him and he was like, what the hell are you talking about?
Right.
So I was like, how come nobody's bringing up the fact that she called him and he was like,
this?
Why are you talking about?
Right. Now she's trying to be like, we were trying to decide. Like, no, but you were trying to decide, which that's fine.
Yeah.
You was trying to protect your shit.
Yeah, but you
spinning
it.
But, like, less like you're spinning it heavy right now. You know what I mean?
And then think about it. Later on in the season, somebody comes to her, I doubt it, somebody was coming and be like, yo, you didn't tell Mendeecees. She'd be like, that's what I said.
Yeah, exactly.
I said I didn't tell Mendeecees.
I never said that. Exactly. So, like, Andalee, you be bullshit.
Yeah, she be spinning, man.
Spinning.
I like Remy's role this season so far.
Remy is like, I'm not fucking like with none of y'all. My baby is just dating. Yeah, I'm trying to make a record.
I'm trying to go to get a cheeseburger. And y'all motherfuckers are tripping.
Like, literally three different times. She was like,
it's cheeseburger break time. I gotta go. So, I don't know what the fuck y'all gonna do, but I'm going to fucking Shake Shack. so far, three episodes in, it's been great.
I've been happy.
I've enjoyed it.
He's promoting me, entertainment.
By the way, have any of y'all been keeping up with Black Ink?
No, but Chicago is coming back already.
Yeah, New York.
In January, New York.
I have been.
What do you think?
It's a little too.
I decided I don't like New York.
Yeah, I don't quite know how to make like. What I'm saying, I guess what I'm trying to articulate is, I understand that there's an element of television and there's an element of realness.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is, they don't do a great job of separating the two. You don't really quite know where that line is drawn in the sand. You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, when I look at C's and, you know, like he talks about building this empire. He keeps talking about building an empire.
And I'm the boss.
They opened up a shop in Atlanta last year. What happened to
and
that?
And there's no one there? Is it not working?
They opened up a shop in New Orleans at the beginning of this season.
Nothing.
What happened?
And didn't they have one in Miami too?
No.
Okay.
And then, I mean, we never even hear or what is going on with the other shop that's like down the street.
Oh, the one on 125th. Yeah, because they all just sitting there on 113th now.
I don't understand this empire that he's talking about building. And then he's just like weirded out that Sky's trying to do something for herself. Listen, I think I would never advise someone to open a business in which they're not only new to business, but new to the area.
Yeah.
You don't really understand.
You don't know the people.
You don't really know the ebbs and flows of traffic and how this kind of works and what that means. Absolutely. You know, listen, I wish her well. I'm not discouraging anyone.
No.
But boutiques are a dime a dozen in Miami. That is like opening a restaurant in New York City.
Right. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah.
You know,
don't mean nothing
at all. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, but to see him like going off on this tangent and like really
on a bitch.
And yo, like, and that's the bitch. And that's another thing, man, that I've kind of said like a lot. They have the tone in which all of the men,
especially Ted and C's
in particularly, talk to and about and how they handle women is beyond. Just not as it's uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah, it's like they hate women, and then if we've said this before, because now it's happening on the Ted side. If one of them before was she's with Duchess, and now it's Ted with I forget the white
Tati.
Name, Tati. If one of them gets into a relationship, or they've even done it, these oh shit, it's like they shit on you.
Yeah,
it's like that's a girl now. You got a girl now. Like,
because they're 17.
Like nigga, like what are you talking about? Like I'm 37.
Because
like,
they're 17, dude. That's really what this shit is about. Like the way they, you know, the way they talk about Donna. And another thing, like y'all niggas got to stop trying to fight Donna.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah.
Because first of all, there are two things that are occurring. Donna has clearly been fighting a very long
time.
All her life.
She ain't scared at all.
And
she's a big girl too.
I was getting ready to say, and that's a big woman.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that lightly. Like she's tall.
Yep.
She has really big hands.
Yep.
Like, nigga, she is dishing out smoke if you want it.
If she catch you. It's gonna hurt.
C's too. Yeah, y'all men exactly. too. Like, be clear.
She catch you in the eye or something, you're gonna swell up.
Yeah. But, you know, look, I watch it and, you know, there's some storylines that it's like, okay, I mean, I get it. Some of them is just kind of like, you know, whatever, like Sky and this whole, you know, parenting thing. Like, it's sort of interesting, right? Because it's like, okay, I want to be a parent now.
Right.
And then, You're not really around to be a parent.
It might be to have a storyline.
But see, that's where I was saying I don't know what that line is.
And that's
which is TV and what is real.
Why Genesis? Because it seemed like when he came on the show early, anyway, he was all the way real,
right?
So and that's what he kept saying, basically like, oh, now you want to be my mom because you're on TV.
Right.
But when I was fucked up and I was in jail, I ain't even hear from you. Right. But now that you're on TV, you want me to come here and be like, mommy, and it's supposed to be sweet. And he's been proven right because her sons ain't even been on the last couple episodes.
Right. Right.
That's, like, so what's really good?
So
well, you've been in Miami.
The New York cast lost me last season when they were trying to do the Atlanta shit. Because I watched like two episodes and it felt super heavily scripted. And I was like, I can't do it. Chicago gets on my nerves, but I'm almost entertained by how ignorant these motherfuckers are in Chicago. Like, they're so stupid that I have to just watch the show just to see how stupid they are.
Yeah.
But New York, they're crazy.
Yeah, they're crazy. They're fighting.
I don't think I can really do New York.
And then even this week coming up.
And Caesar thinks entirely too much of himself.
This week coming up, the trailer showed, Oh Shit comes back.
Oh.
And they blacking out on him and his girl. Like, oh,
is he still married?
Yeah, he's still with the girl.
Okay.
Well, that's, you know, to me, man, I just think that they're all dysfunctional adults.
Yep.
There is this obsession with power. There is this obsession with, I got to be the boss.
Yeah.
And like, all of that shit sounds sexy, right? But none of it. being a boss isn't sexy. Like, at when you all. Actually have to be one.
It's terrible.
Right? Like, it's a very difficult thing.
It's exhausting.
It's kind of why it's not a lot of them, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sexy to say. It's a great conversation starter.
You're the boss, I built this shit.
You know, like, you got a shop.
Yeah, you got it. And that's cool.
Okay.
And it's a barber shop.
Yeah. Like, nigga, y'all cool. tattooing like
the empire.
Five niggas a week.
It's a barbershop.
Stop.
I mean a tattoo parlor, whatever the fuck.
Y'all doing five tats a week, and it's roses and panthers.
And the big shit on the big girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Just, this is an aside, but shout out to Chance, who's apparently been doing live feed Bible scripture readings.
Yeah, lately. They say he's about to go study the Bible. I don't know what's going on.
You mean like for ministry or?
Yeah.
I mean, shout out to him because he's always had a spiritual.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, I guess. I don't know what's going on.
Everybody
needs Jesus. Everybody needs the Lord. I wanted to mention this last week and I didn't get around to it. This whole blackfishing thing.
Oh, yeah.
This is kind of wild. So there's a bunch of white girls online. Who use makeup and hair products.
Tanning and body augmentation.
Exactly. To make themselves look like...
ambiguous.
The exoticals. You know?
I blame the Kardashians.
Yeah, I think it kind of started there. There's a Swedish model, Emma Hallberg, who's the face of blackfishing. Even though she says her skin tone is the results of warmer seasons of tanning. But you're Swedish, mom. Yeah. So chill out. She has... getting 300,000 Instagram followers, and she claims she don't see herself enough as nothing but white. But you know, as y'all can see from this picture here.
Well, I saw it when it broke out.
I've seen that.
Yeah, I saw it when the whole story broke out live.
What do you think about? What do you think about this?
I mean, I'm not surprised. Again, Instagram is a fucking double, and it's created this horrible space for body image issues.
Mm-hmm.
But what's happening, the reason this came up was because these women who are doing this, they're getting influencer checks, you know, and all of that type of stuff. But the actual black girls...
nothing.
Don't, right?
Yeah.
So that was the conversation. Is like, you're going through all this shit, which we've been having for a very long time. You're going through all this shit to look like us. When the same motherfuckers who want to give you a whole bunch of attention don't actually give
the real black people attention.
So, you know, my thing was the Kardashians are, in my mind, the originators of this.
No question.
But then, you know, one of my friends said, and she's right, and she was like, okay, but what about the black men who made it possible for Kardashians to blow up like in the first place doing
that? Because I bet this girl's DMs is flooded
with niggas.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Let me fly you out
fuck with a black girl
at all,
like at all.
Yeah, that is terrible. These niggas. The other thing is,
some of these girls, like they're really like some of them are pretty. Like a couple of them have like a Coblin Asian shit thing going on. A couple of them are scary though. Like one of them, there was one whose skin looks like straight leather.
Really?
Like the tanning is so crazy.
This nigga in my gym like that.
Yeah,
it looked like if you touch him, his shit might stink.
Yeah, like it's so crazy. It's like, so
what have you done to your skin?
Some of them, like the waist to ass ratio is insane. Like some of them just look real. They look built.
Yeah, I mean, for me, most of those, they're not. That's just not fly to me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's not a sexy look. I'm 42,
right?
Like I know what a real woman looks like naked.
Yeah, you know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that's not so. So I mean, I get it for these young kids. I mean, really, this is about again. It's all really about clout chasing, right? They're not really like, oh my god, she's the best thing ever. It's like I get to say I fucked her.
I get to say
I fucked her.
I know her.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? No. I really get to. I might get a nude. I might be able to gas up. You know what I'm saying? Let me tape for a little bit.
Yep.
Right, and then I get to be that nigga. Yep. Like that's really what a big part of
that's
that
what it is.
Yeah, right?
It's high school.
It's high school, and you know, listen, there are some. Listen, IG has also made this a profitable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Like you said, these girls are making money.
Yeah.
So if you in college and you got 200,000-300,000 people following you, guess what, man? You walking out of there with no student loans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And a car.
And a car and whatever.
Apartment off campus.
So,
and all that shit.
you know, we've allowed that.
Yeah.
And there is a level of Kardashian and happening here with how these folks want to be sort of just black enough so I can get black folks to fuck with me.
Yeah.
But not all the way black.
Yeah. Just a little ethnic.
They ain't gonna ask me to come to no rallies.
Right. Just a little ethnic.
No. Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Kardashians are
going back to
They're going back to white. This shit is tiring. We got the babies, we got the checks. Should have started to get really real.
Exactly. We're out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? By the way, I guess I don't want to say peace because it's bananas, but I think it's the same guy who keep wilding out in the bodega.
Is it the same guy?
Is that the same guy?
I haven't watched that. I've seen it. I know what you're talking about. I haven't watched it closely enough to know if it's
the same guy.
I don't believe any of those. I think all of that shit is fake.
I can believe
really?
That.
Really?
I think, and here's why.
The gunshot you saw was bullshit.
I think all of this shit is fake.
Okay, tell me why.
Because this is a way to go viral. This happens way too often, my nigga. Well, like, also, way too often.
But the dude with the gun, he was still in the store. Like, yo, this is crazy. You really want bodegas?
You didn't run.
Bodegas be like, what? You got 20 feet between you and if you staying in the store, my nigga.
True.
Videotaping you on the sidewalk, man.
That's what I'm saying. I just think
that was my thing.
A lot of these guys, they go viral. Because remember, we would see these, like, maybe there was one dude that's like a little small dude. He looks like Miguel. And he does this a lot. He gets on the train, and then like a girl with, you know, this woman comes up and tries to like sit on his lap, but he doesn't move. And then they get into a big argument. Yeah. So then I'm looking and I'm like, that seems weird. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then I see the guy in another clip where dude throws him into the fountain.
I've seen the dude.
Oh, the fountain.
It's the same guy.
I've seen the dude. There's a dude who him and his girl get into it in the Sprint store. Or dude brings his girl into the Sprint store.
But
that same dude then is in another clip in the dollar store, like whooping some shoplifter's ass or something like that. We were like, wait, this is the same dude.
Yeah, the chick in the Walmart, she comes up and, oh, you cheating on me? And take off your sneakers.
Take off your socks.
Look, if I'm out here slinging dick on you, I'm definitely not taking my sneakers off, my nigga. Yeah, not in the Walmart.
Not in the Walmart, nigga. Like, okay. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Like, nigga, you in the Walmart cheating? If you in the Walmart cheating, there's a level of boldness I'm figuring that comes
out here.
You out here?
Yeah.
In the Walmart?
You buying that bitch groceries? What?
So that's what I'm saying. All to me, I don't even pay attention to them joints anymore because I think I don't think none of that's authentic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Peace to this nigga bro over here, by the way, who keep just insinuating that Canela.
I'm gonna be clear. Let me be clear.
That's Canela, bro.
Let me add some color.
What I'm saying is, I think that he has the same deer at different points.
Okay.
I'm saying maybe it's not a different deer every time he takes.
But it's not always Canelo.
It's not always.
It's like, Canelo, bro.
Nigga. Y'all niggas.
Yo, like 10 people jumped in and was like, Sean, she got patches over here. She got.
Yo, Kelly talking about she got the white hooves. Like, nigga, you think she the only one with the white on whites? Nigga, what are you talking about?
Listen, the deer obviously understand that if I go here at a certain time of day, more than likely I'll get food.
Which is
Canela.
I'm not arguing.
There's other deer other than Canela. There's a couple of them. Yeah, Canela's just the most.
Canela got babies and shit.
Canela got a cousin.
I have said it several times. God bless Brother Nature. Get your bread. Right? That ain't the same deer. Y'all niggas ain't gonna make me.
Sean sent us a picture of some random buck. Nigga had different color and different everything in his yard. Talking about this same shit. Canela. We was just like, Canela!
Y'all niggas, whatever, man. Y'all just like Canela. Y'all are in love with the idea of Canelo, so y'all ain't really like.
I'm bringing some water.
Y'all ain't doing it. Y'all ain't doing the knowledge, my nigga. Y'all just ain't doing the knowledge.
All right, bro. Lee Canelo B, man.
Oh my god.
Hey, real quick, I want to mention the Apollo show I went to Sunday night.
How was it? Because me and Sean saw that same show at Essence, which was why I was not pressed to go.
Okay.
But I mean, I'm sure they spiced it up and everything because they were coming home for Teddy and Keith.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because, you know, Harlem is the home of New Jack Swing.
So many Harlem people in
but
the show.
We were completely unimpressed with that set at Essence Fest.
I thought that.
It's also on a smaller stage, so maybe
look better. Definitely small stage. I thought there were highs and lows. I thought that, again, I guess I got to say peace to everybody because I'm about to say, you know, I didn't enjoy Mo D's set at all.
Right.
Mo D was just moving sluggish. He's, you know, he hasn't really kept himself physically fit, so he doesn't really move that tough. There was mic problems with SWV.
There was mic problems at Essence? Yep.
So I don't know what that's about because it keeps...
Because
I heard there were mic problems. I went to the 6 o'clock show and there was a 6 o'clock and a 9:30. And there were mic problems at the 9:30 too. So it's almost like somebody like just not doing...
Well, it's funny because somebody told me that Teddy is like meticulous about his sound.
Because Teddy kept saying to the people on the side, like, yo, get it right. Like
he was doing that at Essence.
Absolutely. So... I enjoyed Guy and I enjoyed Black Speed a lot. Aaron's gonna be Aaron. You know what I'm saying? You know, Aaron's Aaron. But Guy set was pretty good, all things considered. Dougie's great, but Dougie's always great. It's not.
You know what though? I have a theory. I have an unpopular theory. Because I watched an old clip of Dougie for his birthday a few months ago.
Okay.
And I noticed how Dougie's whole face moved when he was doing beatbox.
Okay.
And now he puts the mic right up on his mouth when he's doing those really long stretches.
Yeah.
You think
it's taped?
I think some of it's taped.
I wouldn't be shocked. If you told me it was taped, I wouldn't necessarily be shocked. But I also wouldn't hold that against him.
I think some of it's real, but like he does a couple of spots in his shows now where he's like just going for like wild long.
Yeah, he did that on this joint.
And even after that, there's no heavy breathing. And I mean, granted, I'm sure that Dougie does all kinds of meditation and breath exercises and all kinds of stuff. But I was looking at video of him from when he was younger, and it's like cheeks is moving, mouth is moving. It's a lot more happening. It's a lot
more
activity.
Did he bring
Little
Vicious out in Essence?
He did in Essence. He brought Little Vicious out for the Yo anniversary. Okay. Who's flying Little Vicious to New Orleans?
Nobody.
Well,
Little Vicious was at the Apollo.
But now I heard Teddy got... Is it true that Teddy got sick and had to go to the emergency room?
The second show, apparently, he was just really dehydrated. Because Teddy doesn't leave the stage.
Okay.
Once this show starts, he's on stage the whole time. He's dancing, he's moving. So, like, you know, he doesn't take a break, ever. D-Nice and Eddie F did, like, a little back and forth thing. That was cool.
Oh, Eddie F was there? I would have liked
that. Yeah, Eddie F was there.
Hi, Eddie. Come on.
Keith closed the show, which actually I disagreed with. Because Keith, you know, Keith doesn't do... tempo.
He doesn't, but I guess...
I mean, he's a great... He sounded good. He sounded great, but I would have put Keith second to last.
But that happened... I think that happened at Essence 2. Keith closed.
Yeah.
The set.
And I'm trying to think of anybody else. Oh, MC Light. She only did 2 songs. She did Paper Thin.
Which I didn't understand because...
I'm good.
Because,
Paper Thin and Roughneck. That's it.
But I didn't understand that because Teddy didn't produce Light.
He produced Roughneck.
He did produce Roughneck.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he did Roughneck.
Those are the things I don't know.
Yeah, he did Roughneck.
Yeah, that show is...
But, you know, in Harlem,
that's a different vibe. Yeah.
Because it's basically like a homecoming, you know, because, you know, like I said, Mo, Keith, Teddy, Dougie.
They home.
They literally grew around the corner. They grew around the corner from the Apollo, literally, all, you know, in different... areas, but walking distance, all of them. You know, and then the Coco and them, they from the Bronx and Brooklyn, so it's all New, and obviously Light's from Brooklyn too, so it's all, you know, pretty much all New Yorkers on the set. And the Apollo, it was fun, you know, it was like definitely like old school night. There was a lot of furs.
Because it was cold outside.
Ran into Charlie Mack outside.
Yep.
On like 124th, like, I was like, where you going, Charlie? He was going like down the street. I'm like, where you going, Charlie? I'll be back. I'm like, okay, I guess.
I wanted to give it a shot. Max had a show Sunday night, so I had to do that.
How was that?
It
was a Beacon, right?
Yeah, he was at the Beacon. It's against some black shit. It was, Max's show is dope.
Like, I mean, Max is great live.
I got, he's so good live, and you know, he's still really active. And also this tour, he talks to the audience more than he used to. You know, Max has always tried to keep like a mystique.
Yeah,
he's
letting that go now.
I mean, you kind of got to. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you've been around a long time.
You've been around too long, my nigga. So you know, he talks to the audience more. He shares more of his story. I think he's sharing more of his personality.
Okay.
Which is cool. And then he had like a little after set afterwards. So, but I, my heart was in Harlem. But again, like I said, when the show was first promoted, obviously everybody on Twitter was like, yo, Naima, Naima, Naima. Even my mother was like, yo, this show is happening. And I was like, I was really underwhelmed by the set in Essence, you know? Yeah. So I was not killing myself.
And I heard the second show was against the, you know, Maligo, it was open at 9:30. The only time it actually started, I heard they didn't leave out of there till 1 something.
Fuck that.
1 something in the morning.
On a Sunday night.
And it was dumb cold that night too.
Nah.
So yeah, but I enjoyed it. It was a good time.
Yeah, I saw a lot of video from it. It was like good old time.
Yeah, went down to Row House and had a couple of drinks after and shit. Ran to Chuck Bone and you know,
of course you did,
that type of thing. Oh, rest in peace to Ron Grant.
Yeah, man.
Singer. I guess
a guider of talent.
Yes.
Like I've only ever known Ron for the open mics.
Yeah.
And vocal coaching, I guess.
I was gonna say really artist development.
Yes.
When it
one
mattered.
Of the last artist development executives. Because he used to do like Motown and Upstone.
I don't know, but I don't. Yeah, I think maybe, but he also his thing was at Chaz and Wilson.
No, but I mean in terms of being like somebody they were bringing for
probably. I know. We worked together at Epic years ago, and that was kind of his job there to do arts development with some of the singers or whatever. And of course, he was also the funnel to get talent to perform at Chaz and Wilson.
Like, back when open mics used to be.
Yeah, Chaz and Wilson's was like, I mean, they had a runway.
Oh,
like,
first time I ever heard Kelly Price sing was Chaz and Wilson.
Yeah, a whole bunch of people.
Brian McKnight got up there one night and was just like they had some chicken on the plate and wiped his mouth and got up on the stage.
If you were, especially a black singer, and you was in town, you went to Chaz
and Wilson's. That was
the spot, yes. I'm going to Chaz and Wilson's. I'm going to go play. You know, they got the band, it's tight as shit, so they can play anything, and I'm going to get up here.
It's like a basketball player coming to New York in the summer and going to Rucker or Dykeman, you know what I mean, going to get some run.
And Ron was a really, really nice guy, always helpful. His services, they're setting it up now. Chuck Bone sent me a little note today, so I think there'll be sometime next week. But I just want to say peace to him and his family.
Yeah, and very nice guy.
Really, really nice guy.
Nice guy.
I want to mention... the woman in Brooklyn who was attacked trying to get food stamps.
She was trying to get child care vouchers.
Oh, it's child care vouchers.
Yeah,
okay,
so there's a few things you can get from the HRA, the Human Resources Administration, which is the Department of Labor's division that you go through if you need to get rent assistance, to get SNAP assistance, to get any kind of emergency cash and stuff. But one of the things you can also get, you can get MetroCard. One of the things you can also get is if you're completely unemployed and if you're on SNAP, you can also get child care vouchers.
Okay.
So she was going to get child care vouchers, which is why she had the baby with her in the first place, because she didn't have child care.
Okay, so they put the two police officers on modified duty, whatever that means. Her name is Jasmine Headley. She's 23 years old.
Well, somebody needs to also, like, something needs to happen with whoever, so for those who don't know, what happened was this woman went there. When you go to these places, you can be there all fucking, to the DMV, right? So you can be there all fucking
day. None of you there all day, but the people who work there stink.
And you can be there all day, like, you might go in the beginning, and they call your number and you're in one place. And then they'd be like, okay, go over here. And then you're over there. And then they'd be like, okay, go over here. And then you're over there. Like, you can literally be there all day.
And still might not get the shit you need at the end of the day.
So there were no seats. So she sat on the floor.
With her one-year-old.
With her one-year-old. And I guess at some point somebody asked her to move.
Yeah.
And she was like,
stand up.
I'm not standing for hours. Again, you could be in there forever. You got a one-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
And then the police were called. And then it became a confrontation. So not only do the police need to be, and I mean, they ripped the baby. I'm sure the baby went to social services or something. Who knows what the fuck happened? But it was all just completely unnecessary.
Completely.
But I hope whoever at HRA escalated it to this level,
they get fired.
is also getting fired, or at least heavily reprimanded. And,
you know, to set this shit off, you know?
Right.
What'd you think about this shit, bro?
I think that...
She just got out of Rikers, I think, today.
I don't know all of the specifics about this in terms of the portion where the prior to the police being called.
Right.
But what I do know is that we have basically given cops and police officers
autonomy.
Well, what we've done is we've negotiated away judgment.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's no consequences for them doing.
So not only is there no consequences, right? But like because we are hiring people at such a fast rate, at a rapid pace, and we are not giving them or allowing them the training that is necessary. And I'm not saying that this has, you know, probably ever really happened in the police force, right. But I'm sure that some police forces do this well. But there is a level of judgment here.
Yeah.
And when you're a cop and you arrive at that scene, did you really feel like the best way to resolve this was the way you handled it? Like, that to me is what is like, forget by the book. Like, we know by the book. I'm talking about as a human, as a person, like as a real live person, you thought that, like, in your mind, none of what this woman has probably been going through leading up to today.
Right.
What has happened to her today. The fact that she is in there with her child.
Right.
A 1-year old.
She had been there for 4 hours when they called her.
Right.
Called her car.
Like I've gone to those places when my sister was sick to like finish out paperwork and shit like that. It is
irritating.
A brutal experience.
Yeah, it's demeaning. It's horrible.
It is uncomfortable.
Yep.
It is
like, once you're there, you cannot leave.
You can't do anything.
Yeah.
You're fucking stuck.
Yeah.
You're stuck. And of course, you know, look, I don't know what the situation is. I don't know why someone would not have said to the woman with a 1-year-old, maybe you should sit down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe we can switch off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like to me, it's this is what I'm saying about. So a lot of these places have unionized workers.
So they don't give a fuck.
So what it means is they get to do this by the book thing. I've done my job. We hear that all the time.
Yeah.
That's not my job.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that. That's not my job.
Yep.
And listen, I understand that these are also people that deal with their own shit at home and they can be exhausted as well.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a certain level of understanding and just common courtesy on how to resolve an issue.
Yeah. Right.
Like that's
what's out the window.
Blown. It's gone. No, it doesn't exist.
Right? Yeah. Because we've gotten to a place where for police officers, here's what even police officers don't seem to understand. A citizen does not actually have to do what a police officer tells them to do. It's not illegal to not do what a police officer tells you to do, right?
Yeah.
So at this point, especially if what the police officer tells you to do is just arbitrary and random. So where we've reached is a point where simply refusing to jump when a police officer says jump
means you gotta go to jail now.
Means we're gonna fuck you up.
And then put you
and
in jail.
People are gonna say, well, you should have jumped when a police officer says jump, when in fact I don't have to.
Exactly.
I'm not
walking down the street minding my business, and so a cop runs up on me and is like, yo, give me your shit. And I'm like, I don't even know who you are.
Right,
you know,
like, why would I do that?
Swing on
give
me
you my shit for what?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you get roughed up and everybody's like, oh, well, you should have gave me your shit.
I don't have
to. So, like, to Sean's point, that's where we've gotten with the police officers. Because I'm sure what happened, I'm fairly certain what happened is they got there, and whatever attitude she had given to the clerk, like, I'm not getting off this floor, she also probably gave to them.
Well,
like, get
it wasn't
up for what?
It wasn't a clerk, because there was a security guard on duty as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm telling you, as someone that has worked security.
Yeah.
There is a way you talk to and deal with people.
Yeah.
There is a human element. There is a look. hey, can we figure out a better way?
Yeah.
If you're sitting
on this floor, like, let me see if I get.
Yeah, let me give. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just stand up for a second. Give me a second.
Let me see if I can go get.
Yes,
some.
You're blocking the way.
Yeah.
So and so, this is going to turn into a big deal.
Let me see if I get that.
Something, anything. There's just so many different ways. But you know what? You know what you're asking? You're asking a person that makes minimum wage and is probably pissed off that they got to be there and probably has a fucking BA in criminal justice and he's making fucking $8.75.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I say all I have to say, it's not just security and police officers. I feel like humans, people in the world have no sense of how to resolve an issue without a confrontation.
Yeah,
like without, everything has to be everything one or the other.
Yeah.
Everything has
everything
to be
world star.
Everything has to be one or the other. There is always an extreme view. Like, I'm just going to leave it or I want to take it all.
Yeah.
It's just like, yo, it's just like, we can figure this out, dude. Yeah. Like, it's really not the end of the world. Like, I promise you, the sun's coming out tomorrow.
No question.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, at the end of the day, when you have this conversation, you really have to explain, like, listen, like, none of this is going to get you what you're trying to get accomplished today.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that shit alleviates so many problems.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because really, what are we drawing the line in the sand for?
And my thing is, like, she was there for 4 hours.
Right.
So she must have been sitting down for quite a while. So she's probably like, and she got this 1 year old, like you said,
and she probably was like,
yo, I just calmed him down. Now you tell me to, like, get, you know, who knows what it was. It's like,
it could have been a bunch of different things, but the fact that, not only did the supervisor who called a person in not see this as an issue that didn't need to go to security.
Right.
The fact that security, not only did you not, you know, defuse the situation, you escalated it with calling police. So now we have the people who are paid the highest and have the most expectation of how to defuse and relegate and figure out a compromise in a situation that they should have never been at.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fact that you guys are going balls to the wall, like this is a fucking cartel. Cops. Like this
and
is
she
like,
was in Rikers for 5 days.
Which is a whole other conversation of like, what are we really doing here?
Yeah. Rikers for 5 minutes is bonkers. For 5 days is totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
Last thing I want to wrap up with is, who's the king of R&B?
Oh, Lord Jesus. Ain't no current king.
So, there was a Jacquees, God bless him, posted a video saying, hey, y'all, I just want to say I'm the king of R&B.
For my generation. He did say
which is still ridiculous.
Like, nigga, you came out.
That set off a whole wave of the newer guys being like, fuck out of here. Then it turned into like the
even the older guys be like, fuck out of here.
Exactly.
And then the entire black internet being like, fuck out of here.
And then the people from his generation started basically saying it was Chris Brown. And then that turned, and then R. Kelly popped in, and then Usher popped in. I mean, I don't mean personally. I mean,
I know, and the
their names came up.
So yeah, so first it was a debate with the younger generation. So what has this been now? This is like day three now.
Yeah, three.
So the first night I saw it, I was like, I'm ignoring this shit because I saw somebody say Tank, and I was like, y'all out of your fucking minds. And then it really became like a whole
thing
discussion, like music journalists. Yeah, artists, everybody turned to a whole thing. So, like, actually, once Puff chimed in, I thought Puff had the best take. Because first of all, Puff wasn't like, this is who it is, this is who it isn't. Because one of the things that conversation showed was the disparity, generational disparity, right? And also, because my thing was, because obviously people started coming to ask me, and my thing was, I really don't think there is anybody currently that you can say is a current king of R&B because R&B has been marginalized as a genre to the extent where there really isn't like a pure R&B. And the artists who are doing it, just like they're brand new. They don't like, Daniel Caesar just got here. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, Miguel, he's cool, he's stable. I don't know if you call him a king. You know what I mean?
No, like, he's not a king. And I like Miguel. Like, I know him from the beginning, but he ain't a king.
In my opinion, I did concede. I was like, the last two artists, in my opinion, who could hold that title were Kells and Usher.
Okay.
That was my thought. I don't know about Chris Brown. I don't know if I call him. I don't know. Whatever. But anyway, that's
what about thing. What about Drake?
Drake is the closest thing to a king of R&B that exists today.
Today.
He's the closest thing to a king of R&B that exists today. Yes. I am not going to flat out give him that title because he does not actually make R&B music, but in this kind of weird hybrid type of thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. He actually is, and he actually does write R&B music.
Yeah, he wrote...
Unthinkable. Yeah. Right. So he actually does make R&B music, mm-hmm. right? But I thought Puffy...
He wrote that shit with Beyonce, too. The Mind.
Oh, yeah. The Mind. Mm-hmm. So I think, though, that Puff had the best take, which was, first of all, the very first thing to pull out of it was Puff was like, first of all, you want to call yourself a king of R&B, you need to make R&B music.
Well, yeah.
That's number one. There's that, right? And then he talked about what R&B music is. And one of the things that, you know, us old heads complained about with current R&B was like, it's not just, yo, I'm trying to smash. You know what I mean? There's actually like some vulnerability. There's actually like some love there. Mm-hmm. There's actually something that's going to make a woman feel good.
Yeah.
You know, when you got to sing her drawers off, not just like, I'll pull her panties to the side. Like, whatever. And then also, he was like, also, like, you need to have some hits. A whole bunch of was what he said, hits. You know, so he ran down some criteria. And he was like, hey, your ass need to be able to sing.
For real, he ran down
some criteria without actually saying it's this person or it's not that person.
Now, he didn't mention anybody.
And to me, I felt like that was a mic drop. Like, if you really want to get in this conversation...
You got to have these criteria.
And I was like, even if there is a current king of R&B... It ain't Jacquees.
It's definitely.
Yeah.
It was an interesting conversation.
Who's your king, bro?
A couple things that you guys mentioned I want to just touch on. I don't necessarily know. First of all, I understand Puff's point. Could totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I also think that it's a little unfair with the fact that, like you said, previous to that, the R&B has been marginalized, right? Yes. Like, it has shifted how we consume radio. It's very different.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All of those sorts of things. If I had to pick someone right now, today, that makes R&B music, I would pick Tank.
Really?
And I'm going to explain why. Right.
Please do.
Because...
No disrespect to Tank.
He absolutely I'm saying he absolutely writes R&B music.
He does.
He absolutely arranges R&B music.
He does.
The nigga can sing for real.
He does.
Okay? And he is the only one right now. I mean, I wouldn't say the only one, because there's a couple that float in that space.
Tyrese does too.
Tyrese, Jamie,
Jamie is Tank.
What I'm saying is, those are traditional R&B. If we had to rearrange the criteria because we understand how we consume that is different now, then how do you ignore Miguel?
You
know what? And to your point, how do you ignore Drake?
Right.
Right. If you're using a new wave of criteria, the same way, even at R&B peak in the 90s, mm-hmm. right? Outside of R. Kelly and Usher, like, niggas wasn't doing what Teddy was doing in 78?
Yeah.
In 70. Yeah. That's 77 to, like, 83 Teddy, nigga.
And that's soul. Like, that's a whole nother conversation.
Well, yeah. That's really, that's what I'm saying. So how do we, where do we delineate? The same way we delineate in hip-hop, where we say, I don't know that you could really... You know, make Run DMC and compare them to Outkast.
Right,
it's really
two different eras,
right? Right? I don't know how you can. So it's very. So for us to say R. Kelly, right?
Yep.
Right? That is a fair argument as much as he disgusts me.
Yes.
That is a fair argument.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about the business model, and again, how we consumed it on radio, we know that that's not the case. We know a group like fucking After Seven.
Yeah.
Would never exist in the last 15
Half
years.
Of them wouldn't.
Them niggas was, or them was old niggas in when 92.
When they started.
Them niggas was 48.
They were baby faces.
Older brothers.
Yeah.
Nigga had graduated from school, had a job for 10 years. So I'm saying that it is important to address that.
Yeah.
And while I don't think that kid is good, particularly because here's the foundation of my R&B argument. Nigga, can you sing?
Yeah.
Like, also, like if we put you,
if but we also, put have you had a hit? Has Jacquees had more than one hit?
No, he had that little, he had that bad record, which is kind of a cheat because that was a remake.
Yeah, like, well, and that's what everybody said. Everybody was like, so y'all got this nigga gassed up on an Ellie Mae remix, and now look at this. But here's what I will say to your point, though, Sean. The thing about Tank, the reason I won't give it to Tank is because even though on paper, Tank has all the qualities to be that R&B, he is that R&B nigga. To me, he doesn't have the charisma or the star power. Like he's kept a consistent business going, you know. But
I don't disagree with that as much as when we say that. How are we comparing? What is our measuring stick? If we're saying he doesn't have the star power of R. Kelly, it was a different machine back then, right? If we're saying that he doesn't have the, I would probably say. Could you compare Tank and Chris in terms of the crossing timelines? Maybe you can, but Chris was really, he had pop records.
Yeah.
And he, you know what I'm saying? Like, and yeah, I mean, I understand what people are getting at, but we have to reimagine how we have this conversation because we are putting 1990 and early aughts
criteria on now. But that's also
I mean, we know that nigga ain't it, though.
But that's also why I said I don't think there is a king of R&B because R&B, in terms of what most of us consider R&B, doesn't exist. It's on its way back right now. Because, like, for example, the Drake and Daniel Caesar is a traditional R&B artist.
Yeah.
But again, he's brand new out the gate. You know what I mean? So it's like, I think we revisit this in the who you got, nigga?
Bruno Mars.
Bruno's a pop artist who made an R&B.
Bruno
is a soulful pop artist who made an R&B record.
24 Karat Magic was a black R&B.
He's a soulful pop artist who made an R&B record.
That album to me took the mantle.
So you want to talk about albums, that's great, but you can't talk about a body of work and say
I'm saying again, I don't disagree with that because we understand that they are using, these are all black influences.
Yes.
Right? These are all traditional R&B influences and you can hear it.
Oh yeah, Bruno ain't
when you listen to Miguel.
Yeah.
And again, the bottom line is, motherfucker, can you sing? If we took everything off this stage, can you get busy?
Yeah.
And to me, one of the other reasons why I respect Tank is because he's a singer. The singers respect him.
Yes, in the same way that
motherfuckers would look like the same way Kelly Price was always, even before y'all niggas knew who Kelly Price was, she was always respected and was a singer.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
You always bought in that studio to do them backgrounds and all that.
You understand what I'm saying? I think that there's a certain appreciation for that. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I mean, with the way hip hop and R&B has merged and with the way these things have sort of, you know, collided and the way we try to make pop music because that is the only way for us to get shine or get radio play or get any opportunities outside of that. Like, we just can't, like, nigga, ain't nobody making what's going on no more. Like, ain't nobody making them albums no more.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, but it got made by a woman. That's Solange.
I'm sorry. You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not.
I think there's not a lot of guys doing that.
Well, that's what you would have to be, a dude to be the king, right? But
that's what I'm saying.
But even if you take Solange, right? Like, did that album resonate in a way that the way maybe Erica's first album did?
Right. I think it did.
I don't know.
Now, she didn't have the hit. She didn't have On and On. But I think it's a package.
I think it's an album.
I think that project really resonated. Like, all the women were coming out to her shows. Like, I really think it did resonate.
She didn't have the big song. You know, we've seen it from different angles because we've worked in different, you know, sort of facets of the business. Mm-hmm. So we see it from a different lens, each of us. But I think that realistically, man, like, is there a king of R&B? No, there's not a king of R&B because no one is selling, you know, fucking 5 million albums anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
I also think that, like, the hard thing about these conversations about current music, and again, because R&B has been so marginalized in the industry, especially in terms of the consumer aspect of the business and the radio aspect of the business. Somebody asked me about women, and I said, well, women, it's even harder because the women who have the vocals and the songs, like a Jasmine, like a Fanny, like something like that, they don't have the hits because they're over on UAC and they don't cross over. So like Sean said, we have to figure out where our standard bearers of measurement are. Like, I don't think Solange can be a queen of R&B in a space where Fantasia is still making music.
Queen of R&B.
I get what you're saying.
But that's
the other thing. Like, I see, and it's also a difference in how, you're also seeing the difference in how people consume music, because I'm also seeing people argue about an album impact or about one or two songs. And I'm like, we gotta talk about a body of work.
Yeah.
But these artists don't have bodies of work yet. You know what I mean?
So, wait, I just want to be clear before we shut this down.
Right.
So are you saying Chris is not?
They're
concurrent in the current.
I'll give Chris a Prince status. I'm not giving him a King status.
I don't think so. Because, I mean, listen, he's got a really, really long stretch where there's nothing. There's just too long a stretch where there's nothing.
I also don't think his output is of the quality Frank Ocean. Frank is in a different.
You know, brubby.
Frank is in a different space. Frank doesn't have the output.
I was just about to say, are we going to be honest here? Like,
three albums.
Like, he made three albums, and that last album was.
I like that.
And then they're also like.
We totally disagreed on that.
Then they're also like, I like Channel Orange, but then there's also like this.
I love Blonded.
There's also like this, I still haven't listened to All of Blonde, but there's also like, there's this alternative soul funk space. Like, I saw one of these dudes say, Moody alternative R&B is where it's at right now. And it's like, my nigga, that's not a criteria. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like. Again, there's a difference in our people who were saying it was The Weeknd because of that same thing, because he makes this moody kind of thing. And I'm like, that's not a criteria. You know what I mean? But for these young kids, that emo shit
that
means something.
Yeah, it means a lot.
And they think that automatically means it's deeper, which I don't agree with.
So as we end, we're saying... What y'all are saying is there is no king right now.
There is no king right now. But I'm saying if we revisit this in a couple years, I think that R&B, and I've said this before, R&B is making a return. R&B, I mean traditional R&B. No, not the smoothie shit.
Yeah.
Not the I'm whining over vocals shit. Like some real, like I got some lyricism. I got some lyricism. I got some instrumentation. I got some shit. Like,
fuck all that, nigga. Can you sing? Nigga, can you sing? That nigga can't.
That nigga can't cut it.
He wouldn't be making background vocal.
Right.
He couldn't cut it. He couldn't cut it, nigga. Yeah. He wouldn't be on the road.
You're pitching, Joe.
You think he's singing background for Anthony Hamilton?
Right.
Yeah,
Fantasia?
Right.
Yeah.
Jamie?
Yeah.
Tank? Any of them niggas? You think he's making the background cut? Nigga, you better pack up these mics and get them bags out the hotel room.
Listen, he can't even hold the Hamiltones bags.
At all.
True. That's true.
Nigga, you couldn't even background sing for the background singers.
That's true.
It's just like we keep...
What we doing?
What are we doing?
Can you sing, nigga? You can't even get a lead at Great Mount Calvary.
If I had to put some money down, all things being equal, I still going to give it to Nasty Ass Rob.
I think he's the last one, but like I said, he and Usher are the last two to the Mohicans. I won't say that they are still current. And I do want to call some people out. Because a lot of folks are also like, it's Rob and Usher, or it's Rob or it's Usher and Fine. But a lot of people were like, well, Usher fell off at the Confessions, but they still want to put Rob in it. And I'm like, name one release after Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
But you still keep... No, I know he did. No, listen, Jeff. People was on Chocolate Factory.
But Jeff, I'm not saying
he didn't have the release. I'm saying aside from Trapped in the Closet, Most of us cannot name one thing Rob put out after Chocolate Factory.
Are you sure?
And all that shit sounded the same after Chocolate Factory any goddamn way. I heard one of his Christmas songs, and I was like, this shit is Step in the Name of Love at Christmas. Well, so it's like...
What's wrong with that?
Ignition remixed First Noel.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little just step saying. Before Crippin' Time with Granny and that. Shit. All right, man. Come on, man.
Whatever, nigga.
Nigga had black panties.
Jeff, what are we doing? What is we doing?
Jeff does that shit where he ignores what I said. Yes. Nigga, I said we, most people cannot name.
Yeah, double you up.
Okay, this nigga's not listening.
He had the Love Letter album.
He had TP13, whatever.
TP3?
Nigga, that, you missed my point entirely.
I got your point.
That's filthy.
Saved me. You saved me. That come after Trouble back.
No, I can't stand that filthy ass nigga.
Double up. Trying to get a number. Right,
they about to bust in this door.
Yeah, we gotta go.
We gotta go.
Later, y'all.
All right. See y'all next week.
And that's what's popping in the world of entertainment. Thank you for listening to the Pop Life Podcast with Jeffrey, Naima, and Sean. Want to be a part of the show? We've got three ways you can get involved. Like us on Facebook. Send us your burning questions to poplifepodcast@gmail.com. And follow us on Twitter @PopLifePodcast. Talk to you next week.